Turn into your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. We'll be reading the first two verses. Verses 12 and 13. Revelation 9, verses 12 and 13. Let us all stand in reverence to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, "The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come." The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. Let us pray. Dear God, I just give you thanks once again for just this privilege to be in your house, this privilege to open up your word, this privilege to worship your name. Thank you, Lord. It's an honor to do that. I pray now, Lord, that we can learn from your word and be obedient. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In today's message, time as we know it is going to come to an end. It's all coming to a head. Mankind in this end time has realized that God is real. Mankind in this end time has realized that there is no way that they can disprove God's existence. Too many things have happened in this tribulation period for mankind to continue to believe that this world has been created through a Big Bang theory, if you know what I mean. Too many things have happened in this tribulation period for mankind to continue to believe that this universe produced itself. Which, by the way, some scientists are starting to readily admit that no observed natural processes can produce life from non-life. They're starting to admit that life cannot be formed spontaneously in some chemical soup without any help, and then voila, it's formed. Life is formed. And all I can say is this, that secular scientists, they have a very good imagination. They really do. Because their theories are no longer scientific. Their theories have become more of an ideology than science. Because there are so many holes in their creation theories. And I've looked at these Big Bang models and they simply do not work. They do not work. The universe did not create itself. How many can say amen to that? Yeah? The universe did not create itself. This philosophical naturalism that believes that the universe and life can be explained by natural processes is a complete lie. It's a lie. There's so much evidence now that challenges these theories of evolution. It is so much harder to believe that we were formed out of nothing and evolved than to believe that a loving creator exists. You need more faith to believe in evolution than to believe in a loving God. And it comes down to this. Man's worldview is constantly trying to exclude God out of the picture. Bottom line. Man is constantly trying to take God out of the schools Man is trying to constantly take God out of the universities. Man is trying to take God out of the courts. Man is constantly trying to take God out of the family structure. Just recently, GQ magazine. You're not going to believe this. GQ magazine has come up with a list of 21 books you no longer have to read, and one of them, they're saying, is the Bible. That's incredible. As I was reading this, I just couldn't believe it. GQ claims that what the Bible says, now get this, they claim that what the Bible says is foolish. Now I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about GQ magazine. Ready? Ready? Psalm 53:1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his ruin. And I like how the Apostle Paul sums it up. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Come on now. That's right. So during this tribulation period, man, including GQ magazine, if they don't repent, will be cornered. They will be forced to decide between light and darkness. They will be forced to decide between good and evil. They will be forced to decide between heaven and hell. They will be forced to decide between God and the devil. So far, there has been war, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, hail, fire, asteroids hitting the earth. The Bible calls it as the stars falling. That's how the Apostle John saw it. But this next judgment will come from hell itself. Hell will give up its worst of demons. And what the Apostle John saw in this revelation, in this unveiling, was that the devil was given the authority to unlock demons from a place called the abyss. And we saw this last week. And these things, these demon things, they are no joke. Because what before was, as the Apostle Paul said it, he said, we're up against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's what we're up against now, but in the future, in this tribulation period, they're not going to be up against this invisible world, which is bad enough. These forces of evil will have bodily forms. This is how the Apostle John saw it. He said the locusts, or demons, looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they bore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like a woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into the battle. They had tails with stingers like scorpions, and their tails, they had power to torment people for 5 months. So these things, these creature-like demon things will torment the people for 5 months. It is believed that they're not human. They are demons that are coming to life. They will be given a body. And verse 6 says that people are going to want to kill themselves, but God will put a halt to death. People will not be able to kill themselves. People will not be able to commit suicide. Man will not be able to die. So at this point, this has become a very serious situation. But today, the plot thickens. The sixth trumpet, we're going to be looking at that today, unleashes yet another demon attack. So during this seventh seal of this sixth trumpet, the world find itself in the latter half of the tribulation. It's called the Great Tribulation. There are seven seals that are going to be unleashed against mankind. This tribulation period is God's wrath against an unrepentant heart. And last week, another thing that we saw was that God does not take pleasure in punishing man. And you sense a tension of God's heart there, a tension of him loving his creation, but because he's a just and righteous God, he has to punish, and there's wrath. So there's love on the one side, and there's wrath on the other side. God loves his creation, but he is grieved. He is grieved by the indifference of the people. He is grieved by the unrepentance. Genesis 6:6 says this, "And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now, this verse does not mean that God is admitting that he made a mistake, because God does not make mistakes. This verse just simply tells us that God is a God of love and mercy, but he's also a God of judgment. Now remember, there's going to be salvation. Many will be redeemed during this time period. There will be a worldwide revival. This is incredible. That during this time of wrath, people will still be able to be redeemed. Israel will come to repentance. They will recognize that they had pierced their Messiah. So many interesting things happening here. But let's pick up at verse 13. Let's pick up verse 13. And it says, "Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar." Key word there, altar. "That stands in the presence of God." And I want to take a moment to explain this. Back in Revelation 6, we see the souls of martyred believers. They're praying for vengeance. If you want to go back and just take a look at that very quick. A couple of weeks ago, we saw this. And they were at the altar. At this altar, in God's presence, and they were praying for vengeance. And these were souls killed, by the way, during this tribulation period. But now, if you recall, back in the Old Testament, a similar altar existed. This altar was called the altar of incense. It is on this altar of incense that prayers were made. Prayers for mercy arose. It was a pleading to God for grace. It was a pleading to God for his blessings. It was an altar of intercession from the priests for the people. It was back in the Old Testament. Now let's go back to the future again. Go to Revelation chapter 8, verse 5 for just a moment. And it says this, "Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake." So this altar, where you once pled for mercy, then becomes an altar of vengeance, which then becomes an altar of judgment. You see that? So let's continue. Verse 14. "It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound by the great river Euphrates.' And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill," how many there? "A third of mankind. The number of the mountain troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. So let's unpack this. The big question here is, who are these angels that are bound? They can't be God's angels because we never see God's angels ever bound. The Bible never tells us this. So these four angels are fallen angels. They are demons. Now, there's something good to note here, that it is God who has them bound. In other words, God is in control of the demons and the devil. He is in control. But these four very powerful demons, here we see in these verses that they're about to get loose. They're about to be let loose. And the text here says that they are bound at the great Euphrates River. Now, some believe that it is here in this area, around the Euphrates, where sin began. It is in this area that Satan deceived Adam and Eve. It was a place where misery began. It was a place where the first murder was committed. It was a place where the first grave was dug. It was a place where the first lie was said. So there's no surprise that these demons are bound there. Euphrates River was the place where Israel's worst enemies arose from. It was around the Euphrates River where the people of Israel were mostly kept captive. So it is in this area of the great Euphrates River where four of the most evil demons are bound. But now verse 14 says that these guys, these four really bad dudes, they are being released. And it says that immediately 1/3 of the population is killed by them. Now, I want you to remind you that just prior to this, death was put on hold. But here in verse 14, death is back on track. And if you really add, you know, since the beginning of the tribulation up to now, how many people have died? That addition is over 1/2 of the population going into the tribulation period have been killed. A little over 1/2 in the wars and earthquakes and now this. Again, it is God's wrath on mankind. Now, put your attention to verse 16. It says that the number of the mountain troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. Another translation actually adds it all up for you. Another translation says, I heard the size of their army, which was 200 million mounted troops. Now, there's debate whether this army is a human army or if this army is a demon army. And throughout the years, theologians have been going back and forth with this. But the inclination here that this is a demon army. So let's pick it up in verse 17. And it says, in my vision, I saw the horses and the riders sitting on them. The riders wore armor that was fiery red and dark blue and yellow. The horses had heads like lions. The fire and smoke and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. 1/3 of all the people on the earth were killed by these three plagues, by the fire. Here we go. Fire, smoke. We've seen that before. And burning sulfur that came from the mouths of the horses. Their power was in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails had heads like snakes with the power to injure people. So whatever this is, hell has just broken loose again. The imagery here tells us that there is fire, smoke, burning sulfur coming from their mouths. And verse 19 says that they had the power to injure people. You would think that people would be begging God to stop. You would think that people would be begging God for mercy. You would think that people would be bowing down in humility before God. You would think, right? Let's read verses 20 and 21. It says, but the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. Idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And this is what gets me, verse 21. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. People still did not repent. They refused in their hearts to repent. On the contrary, they choose to defy God. You see that in the text there? They choose to defy God by continuing to worship these false idols. By living in their wicked ways. They did not turn from their evil ways. You know that at the end of the day, all God wants is for us to turn to Him. Did you know that? That's all He wants. God wants us to leave our evil ways. God wants us to repent from our sins.
Hi, Pastor Manny here. We thank you so much for tuning in. It's a true blessing for us. If you like what you heard today, please go right ahead and download the message or share it with others. But we also invite you to come to our church at Boynton Beach. God bless you all.